What bike are you buying this week? If I gave you the money, what bike would it be?
Thanks, Martin. What's top of your list? Lapierre or would it be Commensal?
Yeah, well, going on recent results, those should be the brands you're choosing from. But does winning bike races really sell bikes?
All that plus more mountain bike chat on this week's Dirt Shed Show.
Welcome to this week's Dirt Shed Show with Neil Donoghue.
Hello, and that's Martin Ashton over.
Hello. Neil, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Very good, yes.
I haven't seen you for a while.
No, I've not been here. I've been on holiday, then I've been up in Scotland and Wales.
Having a nice time. I've seen the video.
Riding bikes a lot, so yeah, it's been good, thanks. Yes.
Right, I've got a question for you, Neil. This weekend, just gone, Isabeau Couturier fantastically won the very first inaugural...
Yeah.
World Enduro Championships.
Yes.
And she's now got the rainbow stripes. It's fantastic. It has got all the narrative you could possibly want in terms of a brand. Her brand that she rides for being Lapierre. She's got the... it's the inaugural one. It's the... her last race as a professional, possibly.
She's not going to wear the stripes. She's going to be tempted, surely.
For the time being, it's unique because it's that first race. So... it's got everything about it, but are you going to buy a Lapierre because of it?
Well,
I don't think you are.
I'm not. No, I'm not buying it. But
that's the conversation. So does it work?
Was it motorsport saying win on a Sunday, sell on a Monday? And I think it count in some forms of mountain bike racing. I do know. I mean, I've heard it from the horse's mouth that Scott sell loads of cross country mountain bikes because they have Nino Schurter. And he's won a lot of races, but I think, sort of like it or not, the title influencer, I think those top pro racers are the original influencers, and people buy those bikes because they want to ride like Nino Schurter. Never mind win races like him, I think they just want to be like him. And I know it gets said all the time, it makes me cringe, but downhill being the Formula One and mountain biking, I think people follow the sport because they are the best bike riders in the world, in my opinion. And someone like Loeb Bruni is a great personality as well, but obviously they're not buying a prototype Specialized downhill bike. But I would say, I bet Specialized sell quite a few Levo e-bikes off the back of Loeb Bruni being a great Specialized athlete. Do you think?
I'm not convinced. I sort of feel like everything that I've ever bought into as a customer has always been through the personalities.
Yeah,
image. Not necessarily, because the bike had won. Sometimes it was just because it was the new thing and you wanted to hurt people with the new thing. I mean, I would put the argument to you, take Canyon, for example.
Yep.
Who's selling more bikes? Troy Brosnan or LeBron? I think it's LeBron.
I'd probably favour Wibner, if you're going to... or even Sam Pilgrim.
That's only helping my argument.
That's a company that spreads themselves far and wide as well. I've seen it kind of on the local scale, being a, you know, local pro and people sort of... it being slightly influenced by the type of thing you ride. I do think it works for parts as well. You know, something like a tyre... it takes the pros to show up and it really feels like it gets the ball rolling. If you've got a brand new tyre, you've got to prove that it works. And then something like the Conti in their Cryptotile, people see it win races and they feel, oh, I'll have some of that as well.
Yeah, that's parts, that's different.
And I bet if Dakota Norton wins a race, I've said this before, I think people will start buying into the high bars. So I do think they have influence.
No, wait, right. Dakota Norton with his high-rise bars, which you've tested, which looked amazing, right? I think people are already buying them and Dakota Norton hasn't won a race. So I think the same argument goes the other way round.
I mean, we got talking about this because I kind of do feel like the enduro thing doesn't maybe translate to sales, maybe like it did, because for a while enduro was promised and it did work. I think, you know, these are the bikes that the pros are riding and you can buy these and ride them like they do, kind of, and I think that works a lot of people. But I guess now a lot of people are buying for the £6,000 plus, are buying e-bikes, and they are still fans of mountain biking. They're mountain bikers, they're still doing the same things and watching the same things that a lot of us like to do. So I feel like they are being influenced by, you know, your downhill athletes and your cross-country athletes, probably more than enduro. I don't know this. I don't have any metrics to back this up, Martin. I don't have any marketing.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because you think how much money goes into getting pro racers out there and winning races.
Yeah.
It is not cheap. It is a lot of the marketing budget. If someone's got a race team or race riders, that's where a lot of it goes.
Yeah.
Does it really translate? Are you better off just making an absolute banger video with an amazing personality, like Braga Vestavik, or, you know, there's so many out there that are these new school pro riders who don't care about races, and they're the people selling bikes.
It's all, I guess, all part of the marketing mix.
Isn't it?
Isn't the old saying is half of marketing is knowing what does work and what doesn't? Because you never really know. There's never a metric to it.
Yeah.
And as much as we're seeing the companies throw lots of money at racing, will it continue is the big question, I suppose. And do they feel like it's selling more bikes?
Yeah, actually, I know the marketing term you mean. It's half of it works and half of it doesn't. But you just never know which half is which. So that's quite fun. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Have you ever been so influenced by a race win? I just don't think you have. A race win that you went and bought the bike. When I say it like that, Neil, it just doesn't sound believable.
Let us know.
Are you with
know.
Neil? Really? Let me know in the comments down below. I would love to know if... did Nino really make you buy a bike? Tell me. Now, as you may know, YouTube memberships have been unlocked on our channel, and these are really exciting and really fun. Love them. But they're also super important to us after recently becoming an independent company. So your support has never been more appreciated than now.
Yep, the first membership tier is called our Trail Crew tier, where you get loyalty badges next to your name in the comments and live chat and custom emojis like Martin Turdfaces.
There's no Martin Turdfaces. All right, mate, I got into this last week so deep and I did not anticipate how fun the custom emojis were going to be. I have been super nicing every comment I could. So if I hit you up out there, I'm really sorry about that. The Trail Crew level also gets you a discount code for all your purchases from the GMBN online shop.
Very good. Tier 2 is the Trail Boss tier. You get all of the benefits we just mentioned, plus access to the members-only polls, priority reply to comments, and if you choose to keep that membership up for 12 months, you'll get a very special exclusive water bottle, which should be very good.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that because I'm a Trail Boss. Your support is always hugely appreciated here at GMBN, of course. One thing I did notice, on iOS, it's not the place to join. Head to our YouTube channel homepage on your desktop for the initial joining process. Once you've joined, though, I've checked this, all the access perks and info will be visible on your iOS. It's an Apple Google thing. I don't know.
Okay. Martin mentioned there the shop discount for all YouTube memberships. Of course, our merch is also another part, important part of how we fund the channel. So we have some great new designs out there. Especially our new bike packing stuff is very nice.
Yeah, Rich is wandering around the office wearing that, looking really. Where's ours? Yeah, thanks very much for supporting us. Right, let's keep going with the show. It's time for the news with Tom.
What's up, everyone? Ending the enduro season this year was the first ever enduro world champs in Val d'Fassa. I was lucky enough to go along to the post-COVID double header round when the series was the EWS a few years ago, and I can confidently say it's such good enduro terrain. Fantastic venue to decide the first ever world champs. As for the conditions, it was a bit of a curveball. Early season snow on the upper peaks led to quick and sensible course decisions for athlete safety. We still had a fantastic race on 5 shortened tracks. The women's race saw Isabel Cordurier take 3 stage wins, but still not quite able to shake Melanie Pujan, who was excelling in those conditions. It came down to a margin of just 11 seconds for Cordurier to claim that inaugural World Champs title. After her career, you've got to say it's well deserved. We might not see much of the stripes next year, though. She's taking a year out to start a family, but we're sure we'll see her back in the ranks further down the line, and what an awesome going away present for her. Melanie Pujan ended up that close second spot, Morgan Shah in third to round out the all-French women's top 3. The men's race was only tight from second spot backwards. It was Alex Rudeau who was storming ahead of the pack to claim the first World Champs jersey, finishing 22 seconds ahead of teammate Louis Jandal, who actually had a stormer of a round, hopefully refinding some of that form from a few years ago. Rudo really knows how to take a win when it matters. He's done it for the French national champs this year and now Worlds too, winning every single stage but the last. He's come second and third in both individual races and in the EDR series so much in the last few years that I think he's such a well-deserved champion. Richie Rude rounded out the top three successful year overall for him with that overall title, but you know that he'd have really been after this one as well. Interestingly enough, last week all four winners of the various categories of the downhill were riding a Commensal. This week, with Kevin McHale and Estelle Charles winning the e-bikes, all four of the inaugural world champions are French. Whilst we're on world first, there is a new world record for circumnavigating the globe by bike. Lyle Wilcox has broken the record previously held by ultra-endurance adventure rider Jenny Graham. Lyle completed the 18,125-mile ride with all 630,000 feet of elevation in just 108 days. Vittoria have released a few more airliner models. The Airliner Protect Trail weighs just 100 grams and will fit in your 29er wheel, with a tyre between 2.1 and 2.6 wide. The trail version aims to provide a balance between protective qualities, sidewall stability, and weight. There's a heavier e-bike version too, with denser foam and a range of sizes weighing in at 135 grams. Both set you back 60 euros a pop and include a valve. To close out, some news that Canyon have released some updates to the Neuron. Both the carbon and alloy versions will receive build kit updates, with the newly released components such as new Fox Grip X2 damper, some in-house dropper posts, and some nice new colours on offer there too. Sizes extra small to extra large are available from today. Check out the Canyon website for price. All right, that's my time this week. Let's crack on with the show.
Hexabotches! Hexabotches!
Where did Clark Kent go? And I wish Ray Rams it.
Still me. Still me. Right, into Hexabotches. I like this one, Neil, to start us off. Remember, there's a GMBM race top on the line here for the best one.
Well, see, he's made a rear tyre that glows up red.
No,
that's pretty special.
No, it's Christopher Galp, but you have noticed there's a red light glowing on his rear tyre because he's managing to keep his battery safe and warm in his water bottle.
It looks cold.
Clever, isn't it? I mean, he's in a cold spot. Batteries do not work as well in the cold. So it's a nice, secure, safe and warm spot to keep your battery. Christopher, you've done a great job.
Is that powering both front and rear?
I think it might be.
Yes, back in the day, I remember someone did make a water bottle battery. I can't remember who.
Christopher was opening, he had a bit of a, you know.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clever.
First man to that. But it's a good idea. Next up, Samuel Mendoza.
Yep.
Listen to this. Look, wanted to make the good old hardtail ride well and get the brakes working, but they weren't. So he tried to bleed them. The Shimano funnel didn't work.
That's one of my favourite tools, that Shimano funnel. Yeah, it's so useful.
No good on the Tektro brakes he's got on his hardtail. So he had to improvise with an empty eye drops bottle by removing the valve from the bottom of the bottle and fitted it perfectly. Was able to take a few air bubbles out.
That's a really good idea.
So I guess he's used part of the Shimano thing and the bottle.
No,
right?
It looks like just the bottle with, what do you say, the valve. Is use that as a plunger, so when you then take it off, you put that in, so it doesn't just leak everywhere.
Yeah.
I guess the problem here is getting the funnel as a tight enough fit in, but I guess if it's plastic, you push it.
Yes, it works.
I like it, because like I say, funnel is ingenious.
It says there in black and white now, we got bubbles out.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So, great. How much you got? Pick your favourite one. Christopher or Samuel.
Go.
Remember, race top to the winner.
Oh, nice. One going with Samuel, because I love a homemade tool that is not a bodge. It's a hack.
Okay. Well, Christopher, I was going to go with you, but there we are. If you've got a hack or a bodge, then the link is in the description down below to the uploader. Please send us. I like the kind of simpler ones, okay?
Yeah.
I do like a bit of 3D printing. If you've done it, show me. But I do like the simpler ones, the ones that I feel like I might be able to replicate, if I'm being honest.
I want to see a massive, terrible bodge that is disgusting to look at, but kind of worked for something. So I'm sure some of those floating around in ether.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. Right, let's get on to some things we like this week. Neil, what you been loving?
David Godziak. Do you know, when you get on the train and you try and walk and stay level with he's taken that idea and put it on a back of a top of a train with some jumps.
This is fantastic. It's just fantastic. I mean, he's nailed the brilliant bike video into a short. He literally does all them tricks in one spot.
Simple. But not simple. How do you hire a Red Bull hires a train, but find a bit of track, get your train.
So good. But the amount of effort that's gone into this video, it's mind-blowing. All of the training he's done, And yeah, man, he just nails it. So good.
It's dangerous as well.
Oh, God.
He doesn't want to fall off a train.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. I can top it, though, with really? Tanner Bouchard. Look at this.
Tops it, does it?
I love it. I feel like, actually, he's doing this so well, it's nearly as hard as actually doing the jumps themselves. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's not maybe not God's yet level, but I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Over to one of my favourite followers on Instagram, Wheelbased, with, I don't know where he gets all this stuff from, but all this kind of tech info and patent applications and all that. Yeah. This time he or she, I don't know actually, has dug up this thing from Ohlins, cool idea for an active and adjustable suspension. So this single pivot swing arm attached to a movable shock assembly on a thread axle. So the system will likely be active where the bike includes at least one sensor to inform the processor as to where the shock eye should be in space for optimal performance. So,
yeah, and technically you could change the bottom bracket height with that.
Obviously, the photos of these, I mean, the photos, the drawings don't always look like the final product. So I think it looks weird.
I actually like it because it looks like, obviously, it would be single-sided, but it reminds me of a twin shock motorcycle, which I really like. I like the old schoolness of
it. I've got a twin shock motorcycle.
Yeah, I love a twin shock. Yeah. I mean, I just think with the Ohlin spring on there, that would look immense.
Two shocks expensive.
Yeah, but I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. Some good stuff we saw on Instagram. Tell you what I saw last week, which I really enjoyed, the caption contest. From our show last week, here's Rich. Looking dumbfounded.
Doesn't it?
I love, we've obviously got to start out, Cornish Cactus.
Something rude.
Always does a great job of this, right? So he's come in with a really good offering this week. Introducing the new GoPro Sphinx mount accessory for capturing crap footage of your riding buddies following you. Wash after use, GoPro Limited cannot be held liable for rectal tearing.
Oh, God.
Fantastic. Beat that, Neil.
I think that's terrible. Rock LT21, the men in black have used their neuralizer on Rich. Now he's forgotten where his hair went. Oh my God.
Poor Rich. Oh my God.
It does look like the men in black thing.
He's actually got more hair than me. I haven't shaved mine off. I've got more forehead than he has. Last one is from Rob 92026, and it says, it does colonoscopy shots too. Poo jokes. Neil, pick your favourite and I will send a stunt mug direction.
I'm going with my favourite, which is Rock LT21.
Rock LT21, well done. Cornish, yep. I was with you. Stunt mug. On its way. If you would like to win a stunt mug like this next week, give us a caption for this photo. Your very best efforts, please. This mug could be yours. Best of luck. Right, let's have a look at what's coming up on the channel this week.
Well, last week, Martin, Blake was out at the Swatch Nines.
Oh, it looked good, didn't it?
Banging out all his free ride pals.
Yeah, he's been riding with the superstars, so we've got that coming up. We've also got the all-new 2024 AmFlow bike.
Oh, so I rode this bike, and this is all about... I went to the oldest mountain bike trail, main mountain bike trail, I've got to say, in the UK, which is at Coy de Brennan. And I rode that old first ever trail centre trail on the latest and greatest
tech. And it's all right, isn't it?
Just to see if it still made sense. And that bike is pretty incredible.
It's okay.
There's a lot to talk about.
I've heard good things.
Yes.
We've also got, love this, getting to the bottom of MTB saddles. Genius. That's coming up on the channel, so a bit of an info one for you there as well. So don't miss any of that action on GMBN this week.
Head in, Martin, into the bike vault. Are you ready to see some? We're starting off. Any kid's bike is a super nice bike, surely, Martin. And this is a good-looking Rocky Mountain. I don't know what the model is, and that looks like a 20-inch wheel. Look at that.
It's a cool-looking bike.
Proper tyres.
I did a video on kids' mountain bikes recently, and the bikes the kids can get these days, it's Incredible.
Spoiled rotten, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. Next up, Matteo Moimas. This is his... Hey, someone's bought a lap here.
Hang on, I've got to say, that bike, the kid's bike was George's. George Fortin's bike.
Well done, George.
Yeah, no, sorry. Back to Lapierre.
Yeah, Lapierre have sold a bike. Thank you, Isabeau Couturier.
Yes.
It's all because of you.
Possibly.
This is... I'm not sure where that is. Look somewhere... where do you reckon that is? I'm not sure. I'm going to say it's in Germany.
I'm going to say Italy.
I'm going to say France.
Okay.
Hold on. what should we give it? It's super nice, because I sort of slated it a little bit. Makeup super nice, that is.
Got another kid's bike. Kalle Kopanen. My six-year-old son's super fast mountain bike. It's stock with only one modification, committed to tubeless. 20-inch.
Whoa.
Newman rims, carbon front fork.
Oh, wow. Wow. Bit of a rigid ride, that one.
9-speed Shimano, weighs 8.2 kilograms. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Pretty good. I tell you what, if you're going to get a kid's bike, the weight is very important. If you can get a very, very light bike, it makes a big difference.
That's true.
Really does. Super nice. For sure.
Luke Squires, Santa Cruz Hightower V3, Fox 36 in the front with a RockShox Super Deluxe Ultimate in the back, and running Shagira. So not only mixing the brands of the suspension, but Shagira, your favourite.
Oh, don't bring up Shagira's.
Shimano calipers with... No, other way around.
Don't ask me.
Mercura calipers with Shimano levers.
Yeah, apparently. for that reason, I don't love it.
This is in...
I don't love it.
Wanganui. How do you say that?
It's nice.
Wanganui, New Zealand.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it. Those lucky devils are in nice spring, aren't they? Going into summer.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the Shiguras, I was out at that point.
Okay. Anyway, on to Adam Daniel, who he'd love to see... his bike in the bike vault while I'm spinning my legs at the gym. Thank you for looking, and please keep up the amazing videos. Thank you very
much.
Adam.
Very
what
nice.
What are we talking? That's a Ragley.
Ooh. Nice. Ragley can deliver the fun times.
Yep.
He's got a range extender on there.
I don't think it's an e-bike. I reckon that's a toolbox.
Do you think anyone's bought a range extender for a normal mountain bike?
I'd really like to make it go fast. Probably not,
Mark. Sort of thing I'd do. next up, Junior Feister on his 2022 Santa Cruz 5010.
Yeah. Stormbringer.
It reminds me a little bit It reminds me a little bit of the Santa Cruz Hightower from earlier, so I don't love it.
They all look quite similar, don't they?
Yeah, I've just got a bad taste in my mouth after the Shiguras.
Oh, really?
So it's nice.
Do you remember when they were called Santa Cruz Solos? But then they weren't allowed to use the names. They changed it to numbers, so 5010 looks like Solo.
Wait, the 5010 is supposed to mean Solo? I have never got that. I've always thought it was a crap name.
There you go. Oh,
I've said too much bad things about it. Super nice.
Next, Joshua Patton has got an Eminent Onset ST. Now, I'm not seeing many of these around. But it is an unusual looking bike. It's got that long sort of shock extension that goes down to kind of the BB area.
Yeah, I would argue that a lot of AI has been trained on an image of one of those bikes, because if you ask it to draw any kind of bike from the future, it almost always draws this bike.
Where is that? It looks like Nevada to me.
It looks amazing.
It does look warm and nice, doesn't it?
Really nice. It's a super nice for me. Love seeing your bikes. So that's the last bike vault photo for this week. Don't panic, you could get on the show next week and have Neil say fantastic things about your bike and me say completely meaningless things.
Okay.
Send them in to the GMBN uploader, linked in the description down below. Neil, that's all we've got time for this week.
You sure?
Yes, definitely. So big news this week, races don't matter.
Okay.
YouTube memberships are cool.
Do matter.
Yes. thanks for watching this week.
All right.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.